Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a privilege it is to serve you here this morning and share a message with you. And I'm actually going to talk about one of the fruit of the Spirit. In our parable that we have here, Jesus has been speaking parables in Matthew chapter 13, and he does compare us to plants. We want to find out how we can bear fruit, so today we're focusing in on the fruit of kindness. Biblical kindness. Dear friends, one of the things that I really enjoy about summer is just watching the wake of boats that zoom on by me when I'm out by water, maybe a lake, that sort of thing. It's kind of mesmerizing looking at the wake of the boats that go by. And actually, a wake can tell you quite a bit about the boat that has just passed you by. Think about some of these things, and maybe if we have expert sailors here in the congregation, you can verify if this is true, but I've read this. I've read that if the wake is straight and goes out a ways and is very straight on and dead on, that tells you that the person, that the boat in front of it was going from point A to point B, and that the operator of that boat is probably doing quite well and has a reason to move the boat very quickly. If the boat has kind of a wavy or uneven wake, it is a sign of mechanical failure. Maybe the engine isn't operating as it should, or the rudder's not pushing the boat the way that it should go. If the wake is smooth and flat, that tells you the speed of the boat, how fast it has gone. If the wake is deep down into the water, that's an indication of the drag. It can actually pinpoint what kind of boat has been going through the water, how much weight is on that boat, and how much drag it's given. Now, experts can actually, almost without even stepping onto the boat, by just simply looking at the wake, they can tell a lot of information about that boat. Maybe you know someone that knows this about cars. They hear a motor that goes across the street, and they can say, that's a Chevy 1957. People can do this with boats, with the wakes that they leave behind. Dear friends, as God's children, as his people, I'd like for you to know that you, in your life, leave behind a wake behind you. The places that you pass, as you make decisions, as you make choices, as you have relationships in your life, you leave behind a path for other people to see and observe. Maybe it's in the business that you work in, the choices that you make, and the way that you work for your employer. We talked about in Bible study this morning. Those choices leave a wake behind that people notice. You can't hide that wake. As you travel and take leisure time, and perhaps someone serves you at a restaurant, the way you treat them, that leaves a wake behind for others to see. Even how we engage on the internet, the different sites that we go to, and perhaps interacting in social media, that leaves a wake for other people to see how we've lived and the choices that we've made. Now, here's the scary news, friends, this morning. I'll be very honest. Here's the scary news. The reality of it is this. A boat's wake cannot lie about the boat. However the wake is, that is exactly what the boat is doing. So also, the wake that other people see is 100% truthful about the people that we are, the people that we have become. It doesn't lie. There are some people who have never met you before, yet they will make judgments because of the wake and the choices that you've made in your life. Has it been a smooth wake that you've left for other people, or has it been rough? Well, this morning, what I'd like to talk about this morning is the kind of wake that Jesus wants us to leave behind us. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness, biblical kindness. Now, the word kindness today, probably when I mentioned it at the beginning of service, probably thought, well, that's kind of a vague thought. I don't really know what that means. Now, in the world today, kindness is kind of a lost thought. But I want to share with you this morning that biblical kindness is very specific and does two very specific things. The first thing that biblical kindness does is that it's genuine and authentic. Genuine and authentic, what does that mean? Well, the choices that the actions that we do can do two different things. They can come from two different sources, I should say. One action that we do can come from outside of us, a very surface level kind of statement or action that we make, but on the inside, we're burning up with anger. Something else is going on, you know, deep inside of us that doesn't match our outward act of kindness. So think of it this way. If I went up to Don and said, "Don, I think you got a wonderful bald head." But then if I turned my back and said, "Don is such a rough guy, I don't know if I like him," that doesn't match. Or if I said, "Albany is such an amazing community," but then I drove down to Philomath and said, "Oh, Albany, oh, I had to go up there today." See, that is not kindness. That's not kindness. That's the way the world operates. That's not biblical kindness. Kindness on a biblical level actually bubbles up from deep within our hearts and bubbles up so much more that all it does is it just comes out, and all you can do is be but kind. So when Paul talks about kindness in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul says this: "Be kind-hearted, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you." Kindness is a deep inner feeling that bubbles out onto others. Not an outward act, not just a flippant thought that you make. Kindness is, secondly, biblical kindness is also about friendship. Friendship. I think you guys have friends. Do you have friends? Does everyone here have friends? I hope you have friends. Kindness happens when you have deep friendships. Friendships oftentimes have really good parts to them. We have shared experiences. We have celebrations that we experience with others. We raise our kids with others, and we talk about the memories that we have with them. That's nice. But friendship also has another component to it. Sometimes there are bad things that happen in friendship, like that person that voted a different way than you. Oh, man. Or that discussion that you got into and you really don't see it the same way, or that time that you just had a spat that other people heard about. Friendship has good parts to it. It has bad parts. Here's what kind friendship does. If you can say at the end of all the good and all the bad that you would go through all those situations with that person and do it all over again, just hit the repeat button, that is kindness, a deep sense of friendship, no matter what, unconditional connection. Well, dear friends, probably the greatest example of kindness that I have found in secular movies is the movie The Young Frankenstein. Has anyone seen Young Frankenstein? Okay, yes, a few people are nodding. It's a very funny movie. Young Frankenstein is a story about Frankenstein. He has a bolt coming out of his neck, and he has a scar across his forehead, and he's scary, and he's really tall. No one wants to be friends with Frankenstein. Who would want to be friends with a monster? In fact, the villagers, they come after looking for Frankenstein. They want to capture him and put him on the stake and burn him. He doesn't have any friends. Well, if you see the movie, there's actually another person too that hasn't had any friends and doesn't have any kindness. And hasn't had anyone treat him kindly, I should say. That is a blind man. And he prays in the movie. He prays to God, "Please send someone that can be a friend to me." And of course, at that moment, the director shifts the camera over to the wall, and there's a picture of a cross, a crucifix with Jesus on it. And at that exact moment, guess who walks through the door? Frankenstein. Frankenstein and the blind man, the Frankenstein reaches out his hand, the blind man reaches out his hand, and they shake hands, and they become friends. It's the perfect friend for Frankenstein because the blind man can't see his Mars and his scars and his deep voice. You know what, friends? I actually think we would love to be like Frankenstein. Now, don't walk away today saying the pastor said that we should be like Frankenstein. That's not what I'm saying. But what I mean by that is this. Wouldn't it be great in life if we had friends that were blind to our weaknesses, blind to our scars on our faces, the bad choices that we made, and that they were blind to those things and still extended the hand of friendship and said, I want to be kind to you and be your friend. See, we all want that experience. Christianity does one better than even that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has sent you his son, Jesus. And he does see the weaknesses and the bolts and the scars and the wrong choices that you've made. And Jesus still sends out the hand to shake your hand and be your friend. That's the story of Jesus. In John chapter 4, when he sees a woman at a well, he sees the scar of 5 divorced husbands. Jesus extends the hand of friendship, kindness, biblical kindness. Jesus sees the eyes of Peter that are going to deny him in just a few moments. Jesus still extends the hand. Jesus saw the lame and lepers in which everyone else ran away as if they were Frankenstein, and they go in an opposite direction. Jesus hung out with them. And friends, here's the good news this morning. Jesus sees you just as you are, without your makeup on, with the blemishes, with the mistakes. And you know what he says? Jesus says, I want to be your friend. Receive my forgiveness. I love you. Jesus is a lot different than Frankenstein, friends. Frankenstein died because he was imperfect, and he died involuntarily. He was taken up and burned alive by the villagers. Jesus did way better than Frankenstein. See, Jesus died because he was perfect. He didn't have any blemishes, and he did it voluntarily because he loves you and wants to be your friend. That's the kind of wake that Jesus left 2,000 years ago. An amazing wake in what he did. He went to places like Capernaum and Galilee and met people like Pontius Pilate. And when he did that, there was a ripple effect. And guess what? Here in Albany, 2,000 years later, we're experiencing the wake of Jesus. It's a gentle wake, and it's a great one to live in, to experience the kindness that he offers to others. Dear friends, let's be thinking about the kind of wake we leave behind us. Is it a wake of kindness? In other words, is there someone in this community that has a bolt sticking out of them, that has a scar across their face, that has made mistakes? Will you reach out the hand of friendship and be kind to them? Maybe it's just not necessarily in the community, maybe it's in your own family. Is there someone that's hurt that no one else wants to talk to in your family? They've got a scar. Can you reach out in kindness, the fruit of kindness, and bring them in and leave a wake behind? I pray so. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we're challenged with kindness, and I thank you for this congregation that practices kindness in an amazing way. Lord, may it bubble up into this community and in the lives of the relationships that exist here, so that others can experience that sweet taste it is to have a hand extended in love and in kindness to bring them in friendship. Lord, I pray that that be the case today. In Jesus' name, amen.